So this evening, we'll just have to do the best we can with what we've got. Of course, no PowerPoint tonight with Peter getting fixed, so let's try to give the lesson. And so we're going through Nevertheless I Live book. We're in chapter number 5. We're talking about 5 forms for a firm foundation. And that's things we want to have a foundation to our life that gives us stability, so when we face challenges we can endure them. And it's something that we recognize when we have been struggling with addictions and other things, it's because there's issues in our foundation that maybe were never put in there as part of our life, and so we have to put those in some way. And so that's, there needs to be kind of forms added to add to the foundation to make it stable. And so we've looked at 2 things already, the idea of following. When we follow, that affects things, and as we have to learn to follow other people and follow the right people. We learned last week about the idea of focus, of how we need to have the right focus in who we're helping, and not be critical of other people, but instead wanting to help them and dealing with their own issues first. And so this evening, we want to consider fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. And this comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45. And so this is what Jesus says. He says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." And so, this is talking about fruitfulness. And so, we want to understand what he's trying to say through this. And so, when we see here with him talking about fruit, we want to understand the meaning of the word fruit. And fruit means outcome or result. Outcome or result. And so it's basically, we want to have that outcome or result of a life that's comes because we have a good foundation. And so we see here that he's comparing a good tree versus a corrupt tree, and then he's comparing that, using that as kind of an illustration people understand, to give the idea of a good man versus an evil man. And so this comparison is based on the fruit or the outcome or results of their lives. And so we understand that says, "For of thorns men do not gather figs, from a bramble bush gather they grapes." That those don't produce that. It's kind of the thing, is like you could have a blackberry bush and it could have lots of thorns and things, but it's just going to produce blackberries, right, or raspberries. You're not going to get grapes off of one of those, right? And same with a fig tree, that fig trees don't have thorns. And so it's kind of the thing, is that good things, it comes out of a certain fruit, right, or out of a certain tree. And so he's relating that, where a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is good. Evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is evil. And so when we see heart here, what's talking about, we realize it's not referring to the physical organ that pumps our blood. That's not what it's referring to here. We understand that instead, it's referring to the seat of affections and passions. See, the affections and passions. And so, emotionally, the center of us. And so it's the idea is that when our heart motive is good, our affections and passions are good, then the outcome, the fruit that is produced from our life will be good. And so it's the thing is that here we want to understand that Jesus is teaching us that if we want to see positive results in our lives, we need to have the right motives of our hearts, the right motives. And We see what he's talking about there, where he says, good man of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and evil man of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth what is evil, for about the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And so he speaks of that idea of the treasure of the heart. And so when we understand treasure, it means a great quantity of a thing that is collected for future use, right? That you have a treasure chest, it has all these, the pirates would gather it, all these gold coins that they would get it and they would hide it somewhere. And that was the expectation that once they had evaded the authorities or whatever, that then they would dig it back up, sail away, and live the life of Riley kind of thing. And so treasure is collected for future use. And so when we think in terms of our heart, we want to understand is that we store things in our heart to use later. And we store them in our hearts till we feel that they're needed. And so, but we want to understand that based on what we store in our hearts is how we're going to respond to different things in life. And that's what it's there for, that it's, we're basically storing it, and based on what we store, that's how we're going to respond. So, it's the thought, if we store self-centered, possession-centered, or anger-centered thoughts in our hearts, it will bring forth negative results in our life. Where we're thinking just about ourselves and what we want, if we're self-centered, then that's going to lead to negative results. If we're possession-centered, we're only focused on getting and coveting and not thinking that we're going to be happy until we have all this stuff, then that's going to bring forth negative results. Or if we're anger-centered, the idea where we have thoughts of bitterness or resentment or anger or malice, or just where we're just being vindictive, or we're not letting things go, that then when we face adversity, these things are going to come up and run rampant. And so that's going to be the outcome, the result, the fruit of this treasure in our heart, this great quantity that we've collected for future use. So evil treasure of our hearts is going to bring forth fruit that is evil. And it's for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So the great quantity or overflow of what is in the heart is what's going to come out of the mouth. But we want to understand that this works both ways, because if we instead set our affections on things above and on the fruit of the Spirit, it'll bring forth positive results in our lives. And so that's what we see in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, where it says, set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth, right? And we think of what the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, that these are things that I want to see these in my life. I want to learn how to do these. I want to have those thoughts permeating my life. Then, if we're thinking of that, we're treasuring up those things, then when we face a circumstance, then we're going to respond properly. And so we want to understand that what we're setting our affections on, what we're storing up for future use, if it's positive things, it's going to bring positive results. And so that's really, because of course with verse 1 or 2, every sin had its origin in our hearts. It's also works to the positive, that good deeds begin with good thoughts. And so it's like, I have to see, what are my thoughts like? What am I dwelling upon? What have I been pouring into myself? And it's always, if we're having these bad results, this bad fruit, we always have to look back, okay, what have I been storing up that is producing this fruit? And having that awareness, because sadly sometimes we, of course, get in that mindset, well, if everybody smartened up or whatever, that then I wouldn't be reacting this way. It's all their fault. Whereas, like, no, it's, I'm reacting this way. It has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with what's going on inside of me. and I have to take responsibility for me. And so, it's impossible for a good tree to bear bad fruit. And so, if we'll bear fruit based on what we've collected as treasure in our hearts. And so, understanding that, we now want to consider, okay, what is God's desire for us for our fruitfulness? Because we know He has our best interests at heart. And so, what is the outcome or result of our lives? What is that that He wants to be? And we see that in John 15, verse 8. Where He says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." And so, we see this idea of glorifying God. Glorify means to make God look good, bring honor to Him, and we honor Him when we bear much fruit. And so, it's the idea is that we're connected with Him, we bear fruit, and He wants us to continue to bear fruit. But it's a thought that God wants us to bear a great quantity of good fruit, that He doesn't want us to just produce a little bit of fruit. He wants us to produce a lot of fruit, so a great quantity of good fruit. And so we want to desire that. And so we ask ourselves, well, what fruit or what outcome is God talking about this? What is the fruit of the Christian? And immediately we think, oh, well, Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And so that's what we would think of. And, of course, then we think of like the first three, love, joy, and peace. That those are the ones we initially start with, and then there's the others that follow it as well. But we want to recognize that as more as the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit or the result of the Holy Spirit indwelling you. But in terms of our fruit that our lives bear, the outcome of the result is found in Proverbs 11, verse 30. And in that it says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." And so we want to understand that the fruit of the Christian is that the outcome or result is that he produces new Christians. That as we live our lives, God works in us, we learn to share our faith, demonstrate the power of God in transforming our lives, that can produce fruit. And so, you think of it this way, is all of us, I think, have maybe seen either an example from another family or maybe an own family of a family tree where it has listed out where many years back there could have been husband and wife that were married, but then through that you see these many branches of all these lives that were produced as a result of that union. And so we want to understand is that when we trust in Christ, we're united with Him. There's a union that's formed between us and Him. And so it's the same way that there's lives that are produced because of that union. That's what God wants to have happen. And so it's the idea that the offspring of Christ who gave life should direct that same opportunity of life to others. And so it's this thought is that you will become fruitful when you begin to invest in the eternal destination of other people. Where you realize how others invested in you so that you could come to know the truth, you could come to experience God's salvation and have Him rescue you and cleanse you and transform your life. And so then from that, you say, okay, well, God rescued me, used different people to rescue me. Well, I want to be used of Him to rescue others and to be a help to them. And so the formula for directing people to the opportunity of new life is found in Revelation 22:17, where it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever willeth take the water of life freely. And so we see in that, it talks about the Holy Spirit and the bride, and the bride we understand to be the church. Him that heareth, that's us, that we've heard and responded, that we're saying to people, come. And then let him that is athirst, and that's the lost person, that's needy, that's seeking something, calling them to come. And whosoever will and take the water of life freely. And so, this is kind of the thing as we can identify, is that first off, that we who have heard, we invite others to come to church, to the bride. Right? And so as we invite people to come, and of course the church is more than just a building, the church is the people that come to the building, right? And realizing that there's this group of people that love them and want to help them, right? And so it's a thing that we invite them to come, and then what happens is that the church, along with the Spirit, that in the message and as the Holy Spirit works, and they're invited again to come, right? And accept what is being offered. And then those that are thirsty, as they come, then they're going to drink of the water of life and never thirst again. And so that's what we want to have happen in our life. And that's what we want to see produced. And so it's really the thing is we say, okay, this is the outcome that I want to have in my life. That as God has rescued me, I want to have a part in rescuing others. And so if that's the fruit, then we have to deal, okay, with the treasures of the heart. I have to be storing up the right treasures in my heart so that can be produced later on. Because it's what our greatest testimony will often be is when we're faced with adversity, how we respond. And if we're things don't go the way we want, and we're pitching a fit, or we're grumbling and complaining, or we're just getting mad, like people will see that, and it's just like, well, that's what I would do. How is your life different? But when they see that you've been storing good things in your heart, and now instead you're calm, you're at peace, you're thanking God, even in when things don't go the right way, and you're seeing the good in things, then people will be like, wow, how can that happen? And that, how can you respond that way? And then you can share with them that it's about what God has done in your life. And then that can give them something to think about, and that they can come to know the Lord as Savior. So it's the thing, as we learn to change what's stored within our hearts, the results produced by our lives will be positive, both for ourselves and for other people. And so, as we learn to share the truth of Christ with others, we have the joy of seeing the new life in us produce new life in others as well. And so, I think that's all of us, we have that hope that we want to, as God has shown grace and mercy to us, it's not something that we just want to keep to ourselves. That we want to see other people get to know the Lord, come to Him for salvation, and have their lives changed and made new. And so, if that's ever going to happen, then we got to realize, okay, I've got to deal with what's coming into my heart, what I'm storing up within my heart. Because that's, if I'm storing up the right things, then that's the fruit that's going to be produced one day, is people coming to know the Lord through my testimony. All right.